Gem of the Ocean at Roundhouse Theater. I'm Sylvia Rosenthal, your volunteer from the Metropolitan Washington Ear, the radio reading service for the visually impaired of Greater Washington, D.C., which is bringing you the audio description for today's performance. Gem of the Ocean runs approximately 2 hours and 50 minutes with a 15-minute intermission, so the show should end shortly before 5 o'clock. First, some background. The play is set in 1904 in Aunt Esther's home at 1839 Wiley Avenue in Pittsburgh's Hill District. The dramaturg, Gabriella Hoyt, writes, "This Hill District residence has no protected status or legal standing, but has become a haven for those in need of healing and restoration. Its inhabitants describe it as a peaceful home, free from the violence and danger of the outside world." From the website, as turmoil swirls in Pittsburgh's Hill District over a tragedy at the local mill, the American century dawns in Aunt Esther's kitchen when Citizen Barlow arrives to have his soul cleansed by the venerable 285-year-old soothsayer. Neighborhood personalities mesh and collide as the household prepares for his mystical quest. But with the scars left by the Civil War still fresh, one man's redemption could mean the end of the uneasy calm holding this African-American community together. This first chapter of August Wilson's monumental play cycle challenges us to examine our notions of freedom in a country where the end of slavery opened the door to more insidious systems of oppression. Now for the artistic team. The playwright is August Wilson, whose plays have been produced on Broadway, at regional theaters across the country, and all over the world. He has received numerous awards, including 2 Pulitzer Prizes, a Tony Award, Great Britain's Olivier Award, and 8 New York Drama Critics Circle Awards. Mr. Wilson was inducted posthumously into the Theater Hall of Fame in 2007. A Pittsburgh native, his most celebrated achievement is The Century Cycle, a chronology of 10 plays, each set in a different decade of the 20th century, that explore the heritage and experience of African Americans decade by decade. They are meant to engage in a kind of review or reexamination of history. The director is Timothy Douglas. The scenic designer is Tony Sizek. The costume designer is Kara Harmon. And sound design and original music are by Justin Ellington. Now for the setting. When you enter the theater, the stage is set with the kitchen of Aunt Esther's home. The area is dominated by a large rectangular wooden table that has traces of black paint around the legs. The table sits in the center of a worn brown and tan wooden plank floor. Aunt Esther's oak-pressed armchair is at the head of the table on the left. It has a seat cushion with long white fringe that hangs down the front of the chair. Mismatched oak side chairs with spindle backs are placed at the other 3 sides of the table. Behind the table and to the right is a small wooden platform that leads to a massive dark wood entrance door with frosted glass panels on the upper half. Black address numbers are painted on the top panel. A man's hat and jacket are hung on a hook to the left of the door, and there is a worn-looking wooden stool on the right side of the door where Eli frequently sits. In the corner to the left of the table is the kitchen work area. A vintage black stove and a worn-looking green cupboard are placed against the back wall. A heavy black pot sits on the stove. Cups and dishes are on the shelves of the cupboard, and a wooden bread box and a white basin are placed on top. Next to the cupboard are a sink and a water pump built into a dark wood cabinet. A small basket sits on the floor next to another pressed-back oak chair just beyond the sink, where Black Mary occasionally sits. The right and left walls are solid black, and the back wall is formed by a series of dark, metallic-looking rectangular panels in a vertical pattern. 7 narrow shelves are randomly attached to the panels, and a row of candles is on each shelf. A steep wooden staircase with a landing at the top is at the back of the stage on the left side, and a kerosene lantern is hung above it all. Now for the cast and costumes. Costumes are typical of the time period. Women wear floor-length skirts and men wear suspenders. Aunt Esther Tyler is a very old, yet vital spiritual advisor for the community. She is a slender woman of medium height with wiry salt and pepper hair and braids that circle her head. She has a long, thin face and walks with difficulty. In the opening scene, she appears in a white nightgown with a gold silk shawl wrapped around her shoulders. During the day that follows, she's wearing a white long-sleeve blouse under a predominantly red patchwork vest, a long gray skirt, dangling earrings, and a strand of white beads. Aunt Esther is played by Stephanie Berry, who is making her Roundhouse Theater debut. She has appeared at several regional theaters as well as TV and film, including all the Law and Order shows. She's also the recipient of an Obie Award and the co-founder of a community-based documentary theater company. Eli is Aunt Esther's gatekeeper and longtime friend of Solly. He is a short and stocky man with a bald head. His black beard and mustache are tinged with gray. He wears a long-sleeved tan checkered shirt and brown pants. Eli is played by Jefferson A. Russell. He has appeared previously at Roundhouse as well as other local theaters. His TV credits include HBO's The Wire and NBC's Homicide: Life on the Streets. Mr. Russell is a former Baltimore police officer and a founding member of Galvanize, a network for artists of color. Citizen Barlow is a young man from Alabama in his late 20s or early 30s who is in spiritual turmoil. He is short and slender, with a hint of a black beard and mustache. He wears a blue denim jacket, a cream-colored shirt with the sleeves rolled up, tan pants, and tan work boots. Citizen Barlow is played by Justin Weeks, who has appeared at several local theaters and is the recipient of a Helen Hayes Supporting Actor Award. He has New York and other regional theater credits as well. Black Mary, Aunt Esther's protege and housekeeper, is in her late 20s. She is a tall, buxom woman with a full figure and thick waist. She has a careworn expression on her round, attractive face. Her thick black hair is piled on her head and held in place with a tan comb in the back. She first appears in a long-sleeved, dark blue paisley blouse with white lace trim, a blue skirt, and a blue checked apron tied around her waist. She adds a matching peplum-style blue jacket and a black hat to go shopping. Later, she changes to a yellow top. Black Mary is played by Story Ayers, who previously appeared at Roundhouse Theater in Father Comes Home from the Wars, Parts 1, 2, and 3. She also has New York and regional credits and is the winner of the Graham F. Smith Peace Foundation Prize. Rutherford Selig is a traveling peddler who is a frequent visitor to the house and the only white person in the cast. He is a short, scruffy-looking man with a slight build and short brown hair. He wears a shabby brown overcoat, tan shirt, and brown pants. Michael Glenn, who plays Rutherford Selig, previously appeared at Roundhouse Theater in Small Mouth Sounds, Stage Kiss, and This. He has also performed at nearly every area stage. Solly Two Kings is a 67-year-old suitor to Aunt Esther and former Underground Railroad conductor. He is tall with white hair and beard and a receding hairline. There's a bald spot on top of his head and he has a slight paunch. He carries a chest-high pole of thick, light wood that is carved in a twisted pattern at the top. He enters wearing a brown Stetson-type hat, long tan coat over a tan vest, blue shirt, and tan pants. Solly Two Kings is played by Alfred Wilson, who is also making his Roundhouse Theater debut. He has extensive regional theater credits, including several other works by August Wilson. Caesar Wilkes is Black Mary's brother and the local constable. He is about 52, a short, stocky man with a solid build, bald head, a small gray beard, and black mustache. He enters dressed almost entirely in black, A black derby, black overcoat, black suit, black and gray striped tie, white shirt, and a dark gray vest. He also wears a silver star on his jacket lapel and carries a gun on his hip. Caesar Welks is played by Kenyatta Rogers, who has appeared at Roundhouse previously as well as numerous other local theaters. His TV credits include the PBS series Standard Deviance Television, and he is a recipient of the Theater Lobby's Mary Goldwater Award. This concludes the program notes for Act One. The next voice you hear will be that of your live audio narrator. I'll be back 5 minutes before the second act begins with more background information. I hope you enjoy the show. Hello, and welcome back to the Metropolitan Washington Ears audio description of Gem of the Ocean. I hope you've been enjoying the production. It's interesting to note that Aunt Esther is referenced in other Wilson Cycle Century plays as well. She is the flesh and blood embodiment of the some presence of African people in America. Said just the right way, her name sounds like ancestor. The set remains the same for Act Two, but some of the costumes change. Black Mary is wearing a light turquoise blue scoop neck dress. Eli adds a brown vest, and Aunt Esther has changed to a red striped skirt. After Aunt Esther tells him to change clothes, Citizen Barlow appears in a light green shirt and light gray pants. In the first scene, Black Mary holds up a 5-foot square quilt while Aunt Esther explains the symbols. The quilt has patches of blue, white, green, and tan patterned fabric. There are 3 graduating rows of small tan triangles inside a large white triangle in the center of the quilt, and tan strings hang down from the bottom of the large triangle. There is also a large white sailing ship in the upper left corner of the quilt. During the soul cleansing scene, a tight white scarf is rolled around Aunt Esther's head, and she's wearing a long, sleeveless, red, white, and blue patchwork cape with a hood. Black Mary wears a long scarf made of fabric matching Aunt Esther's cape. It also has white fringes at each end. During the same scene, Aunt Esther and Mary place a white tunic with wide elbow-length sleeves and a round neck over Citizen Barlow's clothes. Solly Two Kings covers his entire head with a dark, grotesque mask that has a beard as the man at the gate. Moments later, Eli and Solly Two Kings wear white masks with angular features and severe expressions. This concludes the intermission notes for Act Two. The next voice you hear will be that of your live audio narrator.